Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This is the fourth message in the series that we're preaching about faith. And what a life-changing couple series that we've had in a row. And bless you. So hopefully you're taking it serious. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Father, help us this morning. Lord, say what needs to be said. Father, I stand before you looking for help this morning. Father, you're the vine. I'm just a branch, Father. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And so, Lord, we don't magnify the minister. We don't magnify the name on the building anyways. We magnify you. And so help us this morning. Be God. And Lord, help us and give us what we need. You know exactly what we need to hear. You know exactly what needs to be done. So, Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And, Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you we walk out of here changed and walk out of here better. And Father, I thank you we go to a new level of glory. And I thank you, Father, we'll never be the same. And we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 5 and verse 25, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. And so one of my favorite encounters with Jesus in the Bible, we see that a woman whose life was in shambles, physically, financially, she was weak and shame, you know, with a blood condition. Certain things she would have to do to go out in public. Her life wasn't good. It was a mess. It was chaos. It was crisis. Her life was made whole in one day. Praise God. All that was broken was made whole. And Jesus told us this. He said, daughter, it's your faith that made you whole. And I don't know about you, but where I grew up and where she grew up and where a lot of you grew up, I do know some of where you grew up and where a lot of my family and friends grew up, you know, they don't know anything about faith. They don't know that how their life turns out actually has more to do with them than it does God. Right. We've been brainwashed and spoon-fed, a lot of us, growing up, that the sovereignty of God idea, that whatever will be, whatever God wants to do, God's going to do it. And hopefully you're just on the receiving end of some good blessings, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Right. Here was this woman who 12 years suffered, and one day she decided to do something different about it. And the Bible said that she pressed through the crowd, and that multitudes were thronging or touching Jesus. Yet the Bible only records that Jesus only stopped and said, hey, something went out of me into somebody for one person. And he told her what the reason was. He didn't say, daughter, thank your lucky stars I was here. You're so lucky that God's sovereign, happy face and hand shined on you today. No. He said, daughter, your faith did this. Hallelujah. We want to be the one in the crowd that gets something from him. You know, a lot of people in the Bible are grasping at God. They're grasping for the blessings. They're on the outside looking in, just hoping to get them. You don't have to hope anymore. God gave you something called faith. Amen. Faith can change your world. Faith can turn everything around for you. And so that's why we're teaching about faith. And this is the fourth week, and I won't review except to say this. The first week I showed you why you needed it. The second week I showed you what faith is. The third week I showed you how to get it, which was last week. Again, why do you need faith? Because that's how you receive. What is faith? It's the unseen realm. It's the persuasion, being fully persuaded and convinced that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do it regardless of what the natural's saying. If he says healing at their sickness, you believe it in healing. If he says prosperity and your bank account and your checkbook say poverty, you're believing in healing. That's what faith is. It's a belief in the unseen realm. And then we saw last week how to get faith. Well, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing God's word. So ladies and gentlemen, right now we're at a place, we're up to a place now where you know why we need it, you know what it is, you know how to get it, you are locked and loaded, right? You have, You should now be able to be at a place where if you need something from God, you now know that faith is the avenue to get it. You now know what faith looks like. When you're going through that sickness and you can't see healing, that's why you need faith. When you're going through poverty and you need prosperity and you can't see it anywhere, that's why you need faith. So now you know you need faith. But now you also know how to get it. There's no excuse why we shouldn't have faith for the problems that we're going through. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it depends on what you're going through. You know, we said this, that faith is the currency of heaven. The Bible says you receive from God by faith. So God, if there's a store called God, and he's got healing on the shelf, he's got prosperity on the shelf, he's got a spouse on the shelf, he's got a child on the shelf, whatever it is, the Bible says we receive by faith. Well, how many of you know I can't walk into the store expecting to buy a can of baked beans and bring just enough money to buy baked beans and walk into the store and a T-bone steak catches my eye? And take that same amount of money and bring that T-bone steak up to the counter and expect to be able to pay. No, it's the same way with certain tests and trials. Certain tests and trials require more faith. We see in the Bible that there's different levels of faith. There's great faith, there's strong faith, there's little faith, there's no faith. Faith is measurable. So if you need a lot, so if you say, I don't know, this trial is tough and hard and I'm having trouble believing it, that's just an indicator that you need to hear more word. Because the more word you hear, the stronger your faith will get. So we're at a place this morning where we've taught you why, we've taught you what, and we've taught you how to get it. But now you're locked and loaded. You're ready. You have faith now. You have faith for finances. You have faith for healing. If you after last week, if you're going through something, if you haven't meditated in the Word on what you need, then I'm questioning how bad you want it.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen? I don't like staying sick. I don't like staying broke. And if sickness can be defeated by faith, if healing, if poverty can be defeated by faith, well, then I'm going to feed my faith and get it to grow so I can take down those enemies. And I'm saying if after last week and you're going through something and you didn't feed your faith, man, I question your want to. I question your hunger. Praise God. But anyhow, we were locked and loaded now. But you know what? It's one thing to be locked and loaded. But it's another thing to leave the bullets in the chamber. The bullets only do any good when they get flung out of that thing, right? I've told this story before, and it's bears repeating anyways. A lot of people maybe haven't heard it or you forgot it. You know, my dad started me hunting entirely too young, you know. I'm glad he did, but legally and in other people's eyes. I mean, I remember the first time I shot at a deer. I had a 16-gauge Ithaca deer slayer, and I believe it held five or six slugs. I know it held at least five. I think it was six, but I'm not sure. An Ithaca deer slayer, and this thing, I mean, I don't even remember how old I was. I just know I was young enough and small enough that they stuck me out in a field, and they did a drive through our property in Frewsburg that we used to have through the thick stuff, and all of a sudden I heard my dad going through the thick stuff, and I heard him yell, "Get ready, they're coming," and all the blood started pumping, and all of a sudden I hear rustling in the brush, and out comes, bounding about 50 to 75 yards away, deer just running through for their lives, you know, going out of the thick stuff, and they see some guys, a couple guys standing in the field looking like orange pumpkins. That scared them even more, and they started going faster. And this is how I know I was entirely too young to hunt, because all I could do, it was just enough for me to get that gun up, hit safety, and boom, until it fell down again. Pull it back up, boom, and I'm just firing away like it's World War III out in the middle of that field, and not a deer was hit. But it was fun, praise the Lord. But anyways, the first deer that I ever got, again, way before I ever even was old enough to take a hunter safety course or get my license, they stuck me in a elevated blind, a wooden blind that was homemade. And that was a little easier for me because I could rest my gun. I didn't have to hold it up. And they would go on drives for me, you know, so I could see deer. And what I mean is they would put me at one end of the woods and put people at the other end of the woods. And they'd walk this way. And the goal was to chase the deer this way. Well, I was on a ridge. And about, I don't know, four or five deer came up over the ridge and were about 50 yards away. And I got excited. And I shot one and dropped right in its tracks, dead as can be. And I was excited and shaken, you know, and they came up and they saw it, and you know, they were all excited for the new guy and the young kid. And actually, to give you an idea of how big the deer was, this was what one of the guys said. "Oh my gosh, Mikey shot Old Yeller." Wasn't very big, but I said, and then thankfully someone stuck over me and said, "Well, how big is the one you shot? No one else had one." So Old Yeller did just fine that day. But anyways, my dad, they all came over, they were excited for me. And they said, how many shots did it take you to get this deer? I said, I got her with one shot. And they said, we heard you shoot 6 times. I said, yeah, there were 5 other deer there. I unloaded my gun on them all. Thankfully, I missed every single one of the other ones, but my mentality was, if I got the bullets, they do me no good in the gun. And it does you no good to know why faith, what faith is, to build your faith up if you don't release your faith. Faith needs to be released onto your problems, on into the atmosphere, and until it's released, it does you no good believing that, you can receive. Now look at this in Mark chapter 5. This woman knew this principle. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. And I'm not sure if we'll look at this or not, but faith can be released 2 ways. One way is by action. She did something this day, didn't she? And maybe we'll go into that more next week. We're not going to talk about that as much this week, but she did something. That's one way faith is released. The Bible says faith without works is what?
Dead.
Dead. Amen. You don't want dead faith. But then it says in verse 28, and this is actually the other part of releasing it, your faith goes along with the doing or having an action behind it. For she said, so as she's going through the press, her mouth is wide open and she's saying something. Can you pull that up in the Amplified Bible, please? Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. I want people to see what that says in the Amplified. The Amplified is just an original rendering of the original Greek. Look at what she said. For she kept saying, If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garments. So we get a picture of this woman for 12 years. She's walking through and pressing through this crowd to try to get to Jesus, to her answer. And the whole time she's not quiet. She's not just keeping her mouth shut and keeping to herself. She's, I just got to touch him. I just got to touch him. I just got to touch him. I guess just got to touch him. Why? Because faith, you can go back to the King James, please. Faith must be released in order for it to work. You can have all the faith in the world for your healing, all the faith in the world for your situation, but until you release it onto the scene, it won't do anything. Amen. Say, what do you mean? Go to Romans 10 and verse 8. You're going to see that faith is always in 2 places, and if it's not in those places, it's not faith. Romans 10 and verse 8. Remember this, when you hear the word, faith is, remember we said this, that when you come together with the word, something is conceived. Well, what's conceived? Faith is conceived in your where? Heart. Faith is conceived in your heart. So look at what it says in verse 8. It says, what saith thee? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. So notice it says that the word of faith or the word is near you, and it's in 2 places, your heart and your mouth. That is the word of faith. So this word of faith that we preach, that Paul's talking about, he says it's always in 2 places. It first forms or is conceived in your heart. Just like when 2 people come together and there's a baby or a woman gets pregnant, there's something that's formed, conceived on the inside of her. That's what happens when the hearer comes together with the word. You come together with the word and something then is conceived. What do I mean? You might be sick and for the first time ever here, God says you can live in divine healing. Well, all of a sudden you came together with the word and something sprung up on the inside of you. Faith for healing was conceived and you never knew that before. You're broken, you're hurting financially, or you need your situation turned around and it looks impossible. And you hear that God is the God of the impossible. God is the God of prosperity. That God promises you can have a baby. God promises you can have a spouse. God promises you that you can be an overcomer. Whatever you need, fill in the blank, praise God. He tells you that and you hear that. You came together with the word and poof, something was conceived in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Called faith. You didn't know before, but now you know. Well, he says it's in 2 places. First, it's in your heart, but it's also in your mouth. Now look at what it says in verse 9. He goes on and shows us what it looks like practically here. He says that if you shall confess with your mouth, see it there? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and shall believe in your heart. There it is, 2 places. God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. So salvation from eternal damnation, eternal punishment is a simple thing. It comes down to a belief in Jesus and a confession with your mouth. But notice this. The Bible said you didn't receive salvation. You didn't receive forgiveness from all your sins, the opportunity to go to heaven, until you first believed it in your heart, right? You didn't confess it first because you had to believe it first. Well, what happened? Somebody told you, hey, there was a guy, his name was Jesus. He died on the cross for you 2,000 and some years ago. When he was on that tree, all the sins of the world, yours included, was placed on him so that he would bear it so you wouldn't bear it. And if you just receive him into your heart, God is so merciful. The Bible says God will forgive you for all your sins. Praise God. And you'll have eternal life. That's what the Word says. And something on your heart, inside your heart might not have made sense to your mind, might not have made sense to your flesh, but something on the inside, you said, man, that sounds like a good deal. That seems really, really good. Something bears witness in my own spirit that, wow, I don't have to die and go to hell. I know what's going to happen to me. God has an eternal life for me. And what happened was faith sprung up on the inside of you. Something was conceived. But you didn't get saved at that point. That was half of it. You then had to open your mouth and say with your lips and your own words, Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. I ask Him to come into my heart. Then you were saved. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The same way you got salvation, the same way you're going to get healing, the same way you're going to get prosperity, the same way you're going to get any promise of God is it's first going to form in your heart, but then you're going to have to open your mouth because verse 10 says, go to verse 10, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation's the promise that we needed. Notice the heart didn't get the salvation promise. The mouth did. With the heart, you believed it, but with the mouth, you wrapped around that thing and brought it close to you. It's the same way your healing's going to come. It's the same way your prosperity's going to come. It's the same way that which you're believing for is going to turn and shift and move towards your direction by the opening of your mouth. The heart man believeth, and we say it this way, that the confession does what? The confession brings the possession. You can't separate them. Praise God. Go to Mark 11, 23. Ladies and gentlemen, it will do you good to just settle within your heart right now that He's God and you're not. Because in your mind and in your flesh, it might not make sense to you that how in the world can hearing about healing and then opening my mouth and believing for healing, how can that bring me my healing? Well, it certainly brought you your salvation. You don't question that.
That's right.
Amen. You know, I've used this example before, but man, I'll tell you what, faith comes by hearing and hearing. You know, if I walk over here, and let's say I walk into this room and it's completely dark in here. Well, what do you do to get not to be dark? You turn the light on. But when I walk in here and it's completely dark and I can't see, and I know the light switch is there, I don't walk in and go, wait a second. I know that I'm told that if I press that button, lights will come on, but you know what, I don't know how it works. I'm not sure why when I do that happens. Some of you might know, but I have no idea. I know something happens that made it do that. But I don't know how it happens. I have no idea. I have no clue why that goes on when I press that. But you know, I don't walk in and say, well, I'm not going to take advantage of that. I'm going to stay in the dark, and I'm not going to do it because I don't understand it in my mind. No, I just know it works, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
I'm going to do it. Well, if He says you got to open your mouth to get the possession, I don't know why. All I know is He's God, and it works. That's all I need to know. He said in His Word. And if we would just obey His Word and get out of the natural, you know, sometimes people become too smart for their own good. I'll tell you, some of the hardest people that I have to win to Jesus and to get to do the words are the ones that are the naturally the smartest. Because they try to figure it out in your mind. You can't figure out God in your mind. In fact, the Bible says the natural man receives not of the Spirit of God. You can try to figure out this. I mean, you tell me how you're going to figure out how a man went into the tomb and 3 days later rose again, went to hell, defeated the devil, rose again, and now all you have to do is believe in Him, and now you get eternity in heaven. You can't explain that naturally, but you know in your heart, man, that's right. That's true. You can't talk me out of my salvation. You can bring Stephen Hawking, you can bring the smartest people in the world that are naturally smart, try to talk me out of it. You can't talk me out of what I know in my heart.
That's right.
I know I'm born again. I don't understand it all and how it all worked, but I know I am. It's the same with faith. Look what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. He says, verily I say unto you, he's talking, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain. What's the mountain? The mountain's the problem or the promise that you need. Whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
He shall have whatsoever he saith. So then let me ask you the question. You're believing for healing. You're believing for money. You're believing for fill in the blank, the situation to turn, the problem to turn. What then, if you really are believing for that problem to get out of the way, for the blessing to come on in, what are you saying about it? Because if you're not saying anything about it, you are not believing for it. You think you're believing for it, and you're believing for it in vain and in ignorance. Because Jesus said, you only have what you open your mouth and confess for.
Amen.
I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You'll have whatsoever you say. He didn't say you'll have whatsoever you want. He didn't say you'll have whatsoever you think you deserve. Let me tell you something. This will help you. You don't get what you deserve in life. You get what you believe for.
Amen.
The world can be a cruel and unfair place, but praise God, it's okay. Faith trumps the problems of the world. That's why God gave us faith for when the world rips, rears its ugly head and blows up in our face and hell shows up in our front door. We don't have to panic. We don't have to fret. We don't have to complain and talk about how bad it is for me and how unlucky we are. No, God gave you a force to turn everything around. It's called faith. But you got to open your mouth. It doesn't come by wanting it, hoping it, thinking you deserve it, wishing it, or even praying it. He said, you'll have it by confessing for it.
Amen.
Praise God. You got to get into a habit of confessing for what you're believing for. Again, you say, what does it have to do with anything? Everything, because God said it.
Amen.
That's all that matters, is that God said it. Jesus said you'll open your mouth. Because really, opening your mouth and speaking is all that it is a sign that you believe. What do I mean? Well, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever is truly in here is going to come ripping out of here.
Yes.
It's just the truth. And so if you have true belief for healing in your heart, that's what you're going to be speaking. But you know, most people, I know, I talk to people, you know there's doubt and unbelief ripping around in their heart because that's all that comes out of their mouth. It's always moaning and groaning. It's always griping and complaining. It's always, it's never going to work. This is always this for me. Well, you're just demonstrating what's in your heart. Well, you need to change what's in your heart. How do you do that? Hear the word. Hear the word, hear the word. Boom, it springs up in your heart. You meditate on the word. It causes it to grow. Causes it to grow until it finally spews out of your mouth. Amen. You know, if you dip a sponge in Kool-Aid and press on it, milk doesn't come out. When the world starts pressing on you, something's going to come out.
Yeah.
It's either going to be faith and victory, or it's going to be doubt and unbelief. It's all going to depend on what you've been dipping in.
That's good.
Some of y'all need to take a good old skinny dip in the Word.
Yeah.
And just let it saturate and soak you.
Yeah.
So when poverty's pressing on you, prosperity's coming out of you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's the truth. Yeah. It's the truth. So he said, you'll have what you say. You got to say it to move it.
Amen.
If you don't say it, stop expecting it to move.
Right.
If you're not calling it in, you know, it's like this. The Bible says God calleth those things which be not as though they are. He tells us to be an imitator. Calleth those things. You know, when I want my dogs, I have two dogs, Wrigley and Willow. One is 11 and one is 2, going to be 3 pretty soon, right, Willow? And, you know, I don't go chasing them down. I say, Willow! Wrigley! And all of a sudden you hear the little paws come clicking on the floor and they come running to me. What am I doing? I'm calling that which is away from me. Go to Romans 4 and verse 17 to show you this. Romans 4 and verse 17. See, some of your healing is off in the distance. Some of your prosperity is off in the distance, over the horizon. The situation that you need is over the horizon. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm a turkey hunter. And in the spring, I love to go turkey hunting. And sometimes I'll hear a turkey gobble. I mean, when I'm in Pennsylvania in the morning, sometimes on a clear morning and I'm standing in a valley, I can hear them gobbling 2-3 miles away. Very, just faintly, you can hear them. Well, I do need to move towards that thing, but the way I get that turkey in front of my barrel is I call to it. And when I call to it, it's like putting a hook in that thing, and I'm pulling that turkey in closer and closer until he's in front of my barrel for a nice lead sandwich. Woo! Turkeys love lead sandwiches. Praise God. They eat lead sandwiches, and then I eat turkey sandwiches. I hope we don't have any PETA people in here today. Oh, man, I'll make you madder than a hornet being here. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyways, where did I say to go? Romans 4 and verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead. He quickens the dead. He quickens the dead. Are there any circumstances or situations in your life that need quickening? What's quickening mean? To make alive. Your finances, your personal life, your emotions, your emotionally and mentally and physically might be dead. Well, God says, I quicken the dead. I give spiritual CPR. How? By calling those things which be not as though they are. He's calling them just the same way when I want my dogs to come, I call for them. Yeah. Same way you're going to want your healing to show up. Healing! Yeah. Oh, healing! Yeah. Come, healing, you belong to me. Yeah. Prosperity, you belong to me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Say, he's wacky. No, I'm healed.
Yeah.
And I'm sound mind.
That's right.
And I'm blessed financially. And my kids are serving God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
And I'm in God's perfect will for my life.
Amen.
Call me crazy all you want, but I'm loving being crazy.
And
jump, come on over on the crazy train. Hallelujah.
God.
Do what God says to do. You might be looked at as crazy, but you'll also be blessed. Amen. Calleth those things. You got to call them in.
That's right.
It's like I got to call that turkey in. Isaiah 55 and verse 8.
Good.
Praise his name. He's so faithful.
Amen.
He's so faithful. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Now, this will help you understand this a little bit better. When you see, because when you get the word in your heart and you open your mouth to confess, well, what are you confessing? You're confessing God's word. When he says you can be healed and you need healing, well, you confess the word that says, Father, you said in your word, by his stripes I'm healed. You said in your word that you'd meet and supply all my needs. You're opening your mouth and confessing what God has said you can have. And so here's why this is so important. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I love how he tells us that. Right before he makes the point, he says, just so you know, we don't think the same. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. He says, just, you might think of how to do it, but I have a different way of doing things. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it returns not, but it waters the earth. So the rain and the snow, they have a purpose, don't they?
Yes.
They saturate the land. They saturate the environment. It says, in return not, but they water the earth. And then when it saturates the environment, it makes the environment change, doesn't it? It brings forth and it buds. So he says, when the rain comes down, it hits the atmosphere, hits the soil, causes change to happen. All of a sudden, there's a natural budding, or that it brings forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he says, when the rain comes down, it changes the atmosphere. It causes something to change. It brings forth a bud. And then the result of it bringing forth a budding is that the sower has seed and the eater has food. Praise
yeah,
God.
Amen.
He's saying it's a blessing that happens. Okay, so why are you giving me this lesson on this weather and such? Well, here's why. Because he said in verse 11, so shall my word be. He's saying my word is exactly like the rain and the snow. That when my word goes forth out of my mouth, just like the rain and the snow come down, it shall not return unto me void, the way that the rain and the snow do not hit the ground to go back up. It says it will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. The same way the rain and the snow come down. They don't return, but they do something on the earth. They're accomplishing something. They're causing the natural to change. Praise God. He says, and it'll accomplish that thing which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing where I sent it. Just like it'll give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he says, my word going forth is exactly like the rain. This should open up light bulbs in your life, because think about this. Take away the rain and oh, the devastation.
That's right?
Oh, the devastation. Out west, they're getting it now a little bit over in California, but for the longest time, they went through major droughts that had major implications on the economy, on people's personal lives, on businesses and financial things. You take away the rain, and something happens to the environment and the atmosphere. You take away God's word going forth, and it's a dry and dusty land for your life. Because think about this now. This is number one, how God does it. Now remember, he said for you as a faith person to open your mouth. Real quick, hold your place here, but go to Hebrews chapter 11. Wow. So good. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm hoping that this wake people up and they'll start talking.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 in verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Well, when somebody's doing a construction project and they frame up a building, well, what they did was something is now there that previously wasn't there. Well, God says that the worlds were framed or constructed. Now, notice this. Now, they weren't here at one point. Earth was not here, the trees weren't here, the oceans weren't here. At some point in history, these things didn't exist until God got involved.
Right.
It says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Now think about this. The worlds were framed. That means the natural environment changed. How? By the word of God. And we see that in Genesis, right? God said, let there be light. He spoke it into existence. Why? Because like the rain, when the word goes forth into the atmosphere, it doesn't return back unto God, but it waters the atmosphere, causes it to bring forth and bud, and then eventually leads to good and leads to the sower, seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So if God had to change the natural realm by his words, why do we think we would be any different? Are we any better than God that we have a different way? I would think his way is highest. His way. I don't think God would say, you know what? I'm going to speak it into existence because that seems to be the most stupidest and hardest and just not the right way to go at all. No, he says, this is the way to do it. You know what he's trying to teach you? That you don't have to figure it out up here. That you don't have to figure it out toiling with your hands and running to and fro and wearing yourself out trying to figure out how you're going to get your healing. He said, no, just the way I spun and flung galaxies into existence at the speed of light, just open your mouth and call it into existence. He said that you can do that. If God's going to do it that way, that's certainly the way that we're going to have to do it. Now go back to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. He says, my word is like the rain. It goes forth. It accomplishes it. Now think about this. If that's number one, that's how God does it. That's how we're going to have to do it. We've said this. Without the rain, there's no change. Not change for any good anyways. Change is for the bad, but not any good. But here's what else I want you to see in going forward today. Does one rainfall cause us to have the crops that we need and our economy to run the right way and you know, all the fruit and all the vegetables and all the things that the fields that need to be watered for the animals to feed on so you can partake of the animals? Does one rainfall do it? No. If he likens his word to rainfall, then we need to use his word like rainfall. What do you need? A continuous rain. A day, not one day of rain, not just 2 days, a continuous rain. That means that when you open your mouth and speak for healing, the same way that when the rain hits the earth one time, it might saturate it, it might moisturize it and things, but it's not bringing about the change that's needed. It needs a continual pounding of that rain and soaking into the system and going down to all the roots of different things. It's the same way. You need healing. You need prosperity. Well, you're going to have to open your mouth, but just saying it one time, it's not going to change anything. You got to do it like the rain. Go back to Mark 11:23 and we'll close here. Mark 11:23. Because when we get the idea of confession like rain, even though there is a repetitive way about faith, but there's a repetitive way about rain. You wake up and see rain for a few days in a row and might think it's a bad thing. And the farmer's be like, man, I'm so glad that I'm waking up and seeing rain every day.
Yeah.
Amen, yeah. And faith might seem repetitive, but when you understand it's like rain, you understand, okay, I understand why I got to wake up and say it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't say it, that which needs to be watered is not being watered.
So
that which needs to be changed is not being changed by me keeping my mouth shut. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God's not speaking for you.
Amen.
He gave you a mouth. He gave you a voice box. He gave you a tongue. Hallelujah. He's not saying it for you.
That's right.
Jesus said that in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, he's saying, stop looking at me and stop looking at God. Stop looking to your spouse. Stop looking to your friends. Stop looking to your pastor. And you need to take responsibility for this. He said, for I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Now notice there, it's not just, you know, you can go out in the woods and make a lot of racket with a gun. But if you didn't put slugs in there or the right bullet in there and you just put blanks in there, boom, 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 nothing came out.
Right.
A lot of people are just firing blanks with their mouth.
Oh, that's good.
Because they don't have any belief behind it. Because he said this, but shall believe what they say. You can spout off, healing's mine, healing's mine, healing's mine. And in your heart and in your head, no, I don't believe that.
Oh.
It's not just the confession. It's the confession backed by belief that brings possession.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get the belief? The word. The more word, the more faith. The more we say, I don't know, I'm having trouble believing on healing. Then your remedy is more word. I'm having trouble believing God wants me blessed financially. Then your remedy is more word. Whatever you're having trouble being fully persuaded on, the remedy is the word. That's what we looked at last week. But then once you get it in your heart, he said, believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. Now notice this. And I never saw this until this morning about how the rain has to continually fall. I've never preached that before in my life. The Holy Ghost gave it to me this morning. And then I saw, okay, now I know why Brother Hagin used to say that. Makes sense now. In Mark 11:23, Jesus told Brother Hagin this. He said, notice that saying is there, some form of saying is there three times. But believing's only there once. He said a couple things. You're going to have to do three times the teaching on the saying than believing for people to get it. And for people to receive their promise, they're going to have to do more saying than believing. Because once you believe it, it's there. The source is there to rain now. Praise God, the cloud's been built up. But then you got to rain down. You got to speak it. And he said three times you got to say, you got to say, you got to say. Praise the Lord. You know, I had that, of course, that situation I always go back to. Because it really happened, you know, $2,000 short a month, not to have enough money to pay our bills. And you know when it changed? It didn't change when I got worried. My money didn't come then. It didn't change when I cried. And oh, I wept, I should say. And it didn't change when I tried to twist my arm of my pastor by pulling on his heartstrings and telling him, you know, I'm having a baby on the way and we can't start a church with no salary. And, you know, it didn't change then. It didn't change when I hoped and wished. You know when it changed? Was when I got, I finally realized, you know what? This is going to rise and fall based on what I do.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, your life will rise and fall based on what you do.
Amen.
You say, oh, that's just taking God out of the equation. No, 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 no. God's in the equation by giving you faith to work on.
Right.
He's already done his part. Amen?
Amen?
He's already done his part. And so we're not taking God out of it. We know our faith is nothing without God.
Amen.
Without God, there's no faith. We don't brag on our faith. We brag on our God who works through our faith.
Amen.
But anyways, I'd sit there and I was like, man, $2,000 short a month, I don't think, I didn't have the faith for that. In fact, it was proof because my actions, what was in me was coming out of me. Worry, doubt, unbelief, fear, anxiety, stress, panic. What am I going to do? You know, statements like, what am I going to do? Sweat, wringing my hands, laying at night, losing sleep. Those are all manifestations of doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's certainly not going to change the situation. The money wasn't coming. God wasn't just feeling bad for me and raining down bags of $100 bills from heaven. So I said, okay, I know how faith comes. I don't have faith for $2,000 a month right now, but I need it. And so I got in the Word. And I'll tell you what, I wore out Philippians 4:19. I mean, I wore that verse out. You know, I used to live in Jamestown with my mom and stepdad growing up. And I loved playing wiffle ball in the backyard. We had a row of pine trees that me and Pastor Tim used to play. And then on one end of them, it went up high. And so we used to pretend it was like Fenway Park and the Green Monster, if you know anything about that park. And my stepdad was, he was anal about his yard, man. I mean, the joke was he's always mowing the lawn. It seemed like every day he's out mowing the lawn. And it was just perfect. I mean, edged right and perfect. But during the summer, we play wiffle ball in his backyard. Man, he'd get so mad at me because at the pitcher's mound and at home plate, we were digging out ruts and digging out because you're always just standing there and swinging or you're just standing there and throwing. And it's just digging up the grass. And oh, he'd get so mad. But that's what I did with Philippians 4:19. I stayed in one spot and I wore that thing out. I took the topsoil right off that thing and dug a rut in there and stayed in Philippians 4:19. And I walked the floors of my house and I put it in my heart. Father, you said you'd meet and supply all my needs. It said according to your riches. It doesn't matter that I don't have the money. It doesn't matter that I don't have a salary. You said it. I put the word. I kept meditating. Remember we said last week of the word? Day and night. Day and night. Don't let it depart from your eyes, because it's not just the hearing of the word one time that brings faith. It's the hearing and the hearing and the hearing. And the more I heard it, the more I grew and grew and grew on the inside of me. The more my bank account of faith grew and grew, because the currency that I needed to go pay for every month to make it from $2,000 short a month, that was some big faith currency that I needed. Well, I didn't have it, but I knew how to get more money. I knew how to get more faith currency. I was meditating. I wore that verse out. And I wore the verse out that said he wants his children to prosper. And I wore verses out that I'm his child. I wore verses out that I should reign in life, that the abundant life belongs to me, a full supply belongs to me. And something was birthed in me. And something started to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I walked up to that counter. And I saw on the counter, it said, you're $2,000 short. I said, that's okay. I got the money to pay for that. And I started to say every single day, Father, when it would come into my mind, when a bill would show up, when something would happen, I said, oh, the atmosphere needs to be watered. I need to say it. If I want to move it, I got to say it. If I want to have it, I got to say it. That's what the word says. I need to rain on this. I need to moisturize this. I need to get it into the roots. And I would say, Father, I thank you. I thank you that all the money, every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for increase. I thank you for promotion. I thank you for a salary. I thank you for favor. And I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. And I would say it, and I would say it, and I would say it. And in 2 years, we never missed one payment. Never missed one payment. But it didn't change until I got it in my heart and in my mouth. That's where faith is. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning. In fact, everybody, if you don't do it, that's up to you, but grab something to write with and something to write on. And I want you to write something down that you're believing God for. And I want you to we're going to close our eyes and you're going to just start by whispering, because we don't need everybody to hear our business. Because I have on this iPad a whole list of confessions of what I'm believing God for the church, what I'm believing God for my family, what I'm believing God for personally. But I know that they're not going to become a reality just because I want them. I'm going to have to say them, praise God. And you write something down on that card. You can throw it away if you want. You can keep it. But you need to start saying it every day. If it's healing, you need to start saying it when you think of it. If it's money, you need to start saying it. If it's whatever in your situation, you need to start calling that in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you. We glorify you. Let's praise him together. Let's praise him together. And maybe if you didn't write it down, maybe you have it written down in your heart. But it helps me to write it down to see it. Oh, it'll only come to pass when we start saying it. It'll only come to pass when we start saying it. We got to open our mouths and start to say it. So start to say that thing. Start to say that thing. If it's money, you start saying the money's coming. The money's coming. The baby's coming. The right spouse is coming. The healing's coming. The job's coming. The car's coming. The house is coming. The clothes are coming. The provision I need is coming. The peace I need, it's coming. I'm a peaceful person. I'm a prosperous person. I'm a healthy person. I'm a wealthy person. Hallelujah. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a wife. Start saying it. Start saying it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good to us to show us how to do this, Lord. We're going to obey you. I don't understand it, Father. I don't get it. But I know that you're true and your word is true and your word is highest and your word is best. So, Father, just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's going to stop me from doing this. Father, those things which are in my heart will be in my mouth. And I will water the atmosphere. And Lord, your word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I've sent it to. And it will bring blessing in that place. So I say all those things that I mention one by one every day, all those things on that iPad, they will come to pass. They will come to pass. That thing which you wrote on that card, you say it right now, it will come to pass. Say, it's changing, it will come to pass. It's turning, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We bless you and magnify you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, my answer is, yep, I know I will. And if you're sitting there thinking, man, that sounds great, you know, to know that someday when I die, I would go to eternal life with God in a place called heaven, but how can I be so sure? Well, the Bible says that if you believe in Jesus and you confess that with your mouth, he said, I'll save you. I say, wait, I thought I had to go to church all the time. No. Church is good to learn all the things about God and learn what you can have and how to access them. But as far as heaven goes, church attendance doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, I haven't been such a good person. I got this in my past and that in my past. Your past, good or bad deeds, don't have anything to do with heaven. Jesus took care of your bad deeds anyways. Say, well, I haven't been very generous and haven't given enough money and I'm just not the church going. That doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus. And if you can say with heads bowed and eyes closed that I don't know that I go to heaven, but man, I can tell you I believe in Jesus. I do believe in the Lord, and I believe he died and rose again. Well, my God, you're qualified for heaven then. I promise I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never done it and you want to know for sure you're going to heaven, would you just lift your hand high in the air and put it right back down? Anybody at all want to receive the Lord this morning? I don't rush this because sometimes people are shy and God needs time to work on your heart. But is there anybody at all, you've never received the Lord and you want to? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll tell you to put your hand right back down. Anybody at all in this building want to receive the Lord for the very first time? If you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. He doesn't change his mind because you had a bad week or month or year. Just ask him to forgive you for your wrongdoing. But if you've never initially asked him into your heart, would you just lift your hand if you want to receive him this morning? Anybody at all before I close? I don't want to rush this. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, but that doesn't mean that there was somebody that was shy or just didn't want to raise their hand. And also, I can't see people by live stream right now or obviously in the archives when they listen in the future. So if by chance there's somebody in here or somebody listening now or in the future that's never received Jesus as their Lord, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. And it is so simple. If you're listening, you say, that was me, I needed to do that. All you need to do, but you have to do this. Just believing it and thinking it is not what the Bible says. You need to confess it with your mouth. You need to open your mouth and tell the Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. That's as simple as you have to do. And then let us know you prayed that prayer. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Can we just worship him before we go? Just to thank him for all he's given. For all that he's provided for us. He's so good to us. We bless you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you, Lord. And bless you, Lord. We worship you today. And magnify you. We worship you and magnify you. I just got a picture of this in my spirit. Don't wait to obey God, but come up. Who's having problems in their ears? Something in their ears. Come forward right now. Hurry up. Don't let it go past. I just saw it in my spirit. God does that for a reason. If you're just coming, line up here, right next to Mary Jo in a line here. Problems in your ears. I just saw that in my heart right away. You say, why does God do that? Well, that's fine right there. It's called the word of knowledge, where God will supernaturally show somebody something that they didn't know otherwise. And have any of you up here told me you're having ear problems? I don't know that you're having ear problems. I no idea that you're having ear problems. And so God does. So he wants to heal that this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you this morning. We glorify you. I want us all up here, and everybody in the church, don't just make them be the only ones that say this. Let's help them here. If you're up here, we're going to release our faith. I want you to say this after me. Say, when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, the power of God is going to go into my body, and it's going to work for a healing. And those ear problems have to go. In Jesus' name, top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be healed in Jesus' name, head to toe. Hallelujah. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, healing. From head to toe, healing in Jesus' name. Head to toe, head to toe. Hallelujah. Be healed, be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Head to toe, healed and whole. Has to go, cannot stay. Father, in the name of Jesus, healed, head to toe. Power to God, go into him. Work for a cause and a cure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's thank him and worship him. Pastor's not the healer. Let's get that real quick. If you're here and you're visiting, or if you're newer, say, what in the world's going on? Well, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you're up here, you have homework. You walk out of here saying, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Say, well, the symptoms got worse. So what? Say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. The power of God went in me. You confessed it. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. That's your job. That's your job walking out of here. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Let's just worship him. You're the healer, Father. We're just obedient to do what you want to do. Father, is there anything else? I've been crying out to you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And I believe other people have been with me. And Father, we had a word of knowledge last week concerning finances. We have a word of knowledge this week. Father, we're hungry for these things. This is so people can taste and see that you are good, that people can see that you're not a God of word only, but a God of action. Hallelujah. Let's worship him and make sure there's nothing else that he wants to do before we close. Praise God. We worship you, Master. Anything else? You know, I wasn't even thinking about anything like that. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, I saw pictures of ears. Hallelujah. And I knew what that meant. Anything else? We bless you, Lord. We worship you and bless you and magnify you. Worship you. Yeah. I don't know if it's just one person or multiple, but I know it's so. You're having problems with your mouth. Sore, mouth problems. Don't delay. Come forward. Come forward. Is that you, Bill? Hallelujah. Let's get healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saw mouth pain. It's crazy. You know, I'm just up here ready to close service. In fact, you know, if you want to know the truth, I was thinking about donuts. Because I forgot to announce in the announcements Donut Sunday. I was thinking, man, I got to make sure to tell the people because I thought I was going to close the service. And all of a sudden, I saw mouth pain. So in the name of Jesus, be free from that. Be free from that. Hallelujah. Supernatural healing, supernatural comfort for that. Restored, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, anything else? Hallelujah. Praise God. We bless you. Let's make sure we give him the praise and glory. Hallelujah. This is the kind of things that are going to happen at these healing crusades. But we need people praying. We need people being hungry on their face. Every day I'm crying out for the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. Why? Because it's the hungry ones that God visits. And how do we show them we're hungry? By crying out, by telling them, Lord, we want these things. We want these things. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Anything else, Father, before we close this morning? I don't want to rush it, but I don't also want to draw anything out just for the heck of it either. Anything else, Father? Anything else? Yeah. Any kind of heart problems? Heart problems. Come forward. Get hands laid on you. Heart problems. Don't miss it. Don't wait. Hallelujah. There's somebody here with heart problems. Praise God. This is your answer. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that you, Michelle? Come forward. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we might, yeah. Praise God. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe, free. Free from that. Head to toe, healing. Heart problems, you go. Heart, be whole. Be whole. Be whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is why We follow the Spirit because we don't want to rush things. Anything else, Father? Lord, it's just because of you. This is the kind of things that you want to see happen. You said that the manifestation of the Spirit would lead to us profiting. So you have there's no doubt you want us to profit. And you said, Father, the way that we'll see the gifts of the Spirit more is to hunger, to crave, and to desire them. So our hunger, craving, and desire will cause this to happen more. I hope the church is listening. Our hunger, our cravings, and our desire will cause things like this to happen more and more. So we hunger for these things. We cry out for these things. People don't need to come and hear about a dead God. They need to hear about a powerful, alive God that can touch their lives and change their lives. Praise you, Father. Anything else? Anything else? We praise you, Lord. 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 Court, can you go out with the children's church kids and have Sarah and Vinny come up right here for me? Just go get, come on right in front of me, Vinny here. Bring Sarah up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. I'm waiting for Sarah. That's Vinny's wife here. God has something for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Just worship Him. We bless you and thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you. Just come on up here, Sarah, next to your hubby. Praise God. Let's just worship Him. I just saw this in my heart. God has seen your faithfulness. God has seen your faithfulness, and you'll be rewarded. And so get ready for increase. I'm just telling you, get ready for increase. Increase in Jesus' name. Increase. Increase in Jesus' name. Increase in Jesus' name. It'll come. It'll come, and then you'll testify. You'll tell me about it, and I'll tell the church. And God won't be a liar. Hallelujah. God won't be a liar. Praise God. Faithfulness, though. The faithfulness paved the way for that. See, because a lot of people want the increase, but they don't want to pay the price to be faithful. You've been faithful. Increase, increase, increase. You say, well, I've been faithful, then claim increase for yourselves. Because the Bible says the faithful man will abound in blessings. But I saw it specifically. And it'll be a testimony to the church when it happens. Praise God. Anything else, Lord, that you want to do and say, hey, Father, we want to be obedient to what you're saying and doing. To what you're saying and doing. Anything else, Father, we bless you and glorify you. Anything else? I think that's it. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your mercy, for what you've done. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you rush out of here, don't forget Monday night. Thank you, by the way. Monday night, 6:30. That's tomorrow. Praise God. We get to be back here sowing and praying, and that's what we're going to be doing, crying out for God's plan and the will of God. Also, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. And then also, don't forget, we have the donuts. I mean, I got 6 dozen of those babies, so you got to get ready. We might have to pray for heart problems after we get done eating. So we'll stick around, see what God says after that. But anyways, feel free to go head over there and partake of that. You are dismissed. It's your name was shouting out loud. And it's your name was so name was so name was so name.